Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to just talk. No, we actually have something we want to talk about, and it has to do with preparedness and being unprepared. Whether in anything, whether that is going to the recruiter for your first time, or it's taking your first PST, it's showing up at Buds or boot camp or whatever, doing anything, showing up unprepared. And the reason why we're doing this one is because I think I posted something the other day with a Kermit meme on it. And it was basically this guy telling me that he has to take the PST coming up. And I said, okay, cool. How's your scores? He goes, I don't know. I've never taken the PST before. I'm like, ooh, that's not really good. I said, well, how's your swim? He goes, well, I probably won't do that well on the swim. So I was helping him with swimming, right? And we're trying to get his swim time down. I said, well, how's your run? And he goes, oh, I can run for days. And I said, oh, good. What's your run time for the PST? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, the mile and a half timed run. He goes, oh, I don't know. I've never timed it. I'm like,
but I can run for days.
Oh, my God. So anyway, that is a prime example of a conversation that I had with a kid that's already in the delayed entry program, right? And here's what happened, Jeff, and you may have heard this too, that, recruiters get double points or whatever that is, double quota or whatever towards their quota at the end of the month if they recruit two types of people, and that is someone who wants to go to Buds and someone who wants to be a nuke. So if you go into that recruiter and your first time ever considering or your first part of your education is asking a recruiter what type of jobs are available to me, they're going to first probably look at your ASVAB and say, oh, you qualify for nuke. You should be a nuke. Maybe if you don't qualify for nuke, they'll say, oh, you look pretty fit. Should be a SEAL. And if that is your first education of those two jobs in the military, you're gonna have a long road, because nuke school is no joke. That's like academic Buds.
And then
you're gonna go to Buds, and if you pass the PST, unfortunately, some people don't. Then they just go to the fleet. That recruiter gets points if you just sign the dotted line, pass the PST. Doesn't matter if you make it or not. So I've kind of rambled a little bit on this one, Jeff. Once again, focus on preparedness, first time talking to a recruiter, personal responsibility.
Yeah. I think too, what Stu and I are getting better at is that, objectively, it's easy for us and you all to kind of pick away at that recruiter, that scab, if you will, but understand that if you look at the bigger picture and use the nuke as a perfect example, again, this is a hypothesis. This is an educated guess as to why it is, because it's a manning issue.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get somebody to be a nuke for various reasons, right? The academics necessary. You're going to be on a carrier or in a submarine, which, especially a submarine, some people really may shy away from that. So there's reasons why it's easier for someone to walk in that may on paper look like a viable candidate rather than recruit for those candidates. So that's why you end up getting guy that comes in, looks fit, or guy that comes in and scores well as ASVAB. Of course, a recruiter should be going, you know what? The Navy needs more SEALs, and it certainly needs more nukes. So let's try to get you in that, because most people come in, and honestly, most people probably do come a recruiter without a whole lot of pre-existing information gathering.
Yes.
So a lot of people are just looking at, I don't know what can the Navy offer me? That's a very, very viable topic of conversation that happens. So what's a recruiter going to do?
That you should not have that conversation with your recruiter.
Yes, if you want to be a SEAL or a nuke. Exactly.
Have that conversation 4 years earlier.
Yes.
Before you even go see a recruiter and spend your time. If you want to serve, let's say you want to serve at 14 years old, you can't serve until you're 18. You have 4 years to educate yourself. You got books to read, and you got training to do, and You know, there's a lot websites to watch, you know, and learn from, and podcasts to check out. You know, so your education should begin long before the recruiter.
Yes.
Yeah.
So instead of me casting this very wide net of blame over the you know, the Navy, the recruiters, the mentors, whatever. Well, that net of responsibility falls on top of you, and exactly what Stu is saying. So let's, me included, because here's one of the first things I remember learning in the Buds that carries directly into the teams. Do not bring me a problem unless you also bring me a solution at the same time. So that's something I really believe in. I really believe in that root, whether it's Buds or not. So personal responsibility is really, many of these issues that we talk about with a recruiter in relation to a recruiter, a mentor, or a motivator, whatever you want to call them, many of these issues that we talk about, we can head those off by educating ourselves, by seeking information before. Because I actually got a question today, and my message is like, hey, I've listened to a bunch of years in Stu's, I've been training for this long, my PSP numbers are this. It's like, do you think now's about the right time to go see a recruiter? Because I'm hoping to get in another 6 or 8 months, but are my PST numbers enough? You know, so then my question is like, well, what region are you at? Like, have you spoken to other PST candidates with similar scores, and how did they fare? So there is a time to kind of go, is it time? I don't know. But the time to not take the PST is when you're unprepared.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's
a good point.
That's what really the biggest issue that Stu and I see. We go, man, it's so easy to talk shit about a recruiter. It is.
Yeah.
But we start talking and we're going, you know what? So many people don't have these issues. And why do they not have these issues? They don't have these issues because they educated and prepared themselves before. And I understand people are really like, oh man, I want to get in the Navy. I want to hurry the process up and go do it and give me a date and a target and blah. Yep. Understand that. But the better option is what we're trying to share with you and go, all right, use that enthusiasm to educate yourself, to empower yourself.
Absolutely. In fact, you know what? It really comes down to initiative too. That's probably when I first joined the Navy, probably the first thing I ever learned when I was at the Naval Academy was initiative. You know, take an initiative. In fact, they even made us read, you can read this essay. It does take very long. It's called Message to Garcia. And it's all about taking the initiative. This guy had to go find Garcia. And Garcia was somewhere in Cuba fighting a war. And he had to go take this message to Garcia. That's all the info he had.
Yeah.
So he had to figure out a way to get to Cuba. Then when he was in Cuba, had to figure out how to find Garcia. You know, so that's initiative textbook, right? Yeah. And so whenever, you know, you ask us a question that is easily researched and found on either sealswick.com or Google or either one of our websites or the podcast that we talked about, I will typically say Google, right? And I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I'm just trying to help you understand that initiative is one of the first things you will ever learn when you are in the military. I remember one of the best things I used to do is, especially as a young junior officer, and tell my guys, I say, here's what we need to get done, boom, boom, boom. And they would get it done. And I would just say, man, how did you guys do that? And one of my favorite answers from enlisted guys that I love to this day is, just don't ask, sir.
Yeah, right. Just don't ask. And so that's what I look at. And
they
I go,
they took the initiative and got it done. You know? Yeah.
If any of you were to take literally 100% of any question you might have pertaining to Buds, like we could just pick one and go, well, preparing for the PST, like those are the questions I have, and specifically about how long I should train. It doesn't matter what it is. If you look at that topic and you exhaust your resources, your own resources on what does that mean? Well, I have to listen, go to YouTube. I have to do some reading. When you exhaust that and go, I have looked and turned over every stone that I can think of to find this answer. And I don't feel like I found this answer. Well, then email us or talk to a recruiter. And that's what you're going to find is, we've already covered this topic, is what you're going to find is that when you uncover that answer, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, not to say that we don't
do it.
Not to say that it doesn't matter, but what you find is the discovery is far more important than someone just giving you the answer.
Yes. Thank you.
And that's the big thing, is people guilty. I've been there. I get
Not
me throwing stones in a glass house or stew. There is something to, again, I go back to my son. When my son really took a liking to Legos when he was younger, he always wanted me to build it for him, help, you know, so he could play with the end result. So the deal I made to him a couple of years ago, he's since not really cared for Legos, but at the time I said, all right, well, no, if we're going to buy Legos for Christmas or your birthday or whatever, you have to put it together. So you have to pick out the one that you are willing to put it together. And when he started doing that, he basically stopped playing with them because he was like, I'm so proud of this. Look what I made. And now he's got an entire shelf, two shelves, head to toe of just Legos. He doesn't want to play with them because for him, the creation was far more valuable than the discovery afterwards of like, oh, I got to play with it now and crash it and redo it.
I like that.
And so that's what we're trying to get you to do. Because just like Stu and I keep saying, when you get to Bud, you're not going to have he or I holding your hand. In the same regard is that, If you are not the one on the journey, you can't own it. You can't stay at that point of success. You can't stay at that end state and go, yeah, I'm responsible for this. Because when I say personal responsibility, I'm talking about the positive side of it too. I'm saying, man, I did my research. I worked my butt off. I went to a recruiter on my terms. I joined the Navy on my terms. I successfully made it through Buds on my terms. That's also personal responsibility.
Yep.
And that's where it's hard for Stu and I to go, because call it whatever you want, divinity, luck, chance, personal, whatever. Stu and I went down that road, which is why we go, just don't quit, man. It's really pretty simple. Like, prepare, be motivated, be work yourself into the team, all these sort of things. And we go, why are people having such a hard time with this?
Yeah.
Well, it's because we created the journey. Not that we didn't have help along the way, but we created our own journey. So when we got through Buds, I was like, fuck yeah, Jeff Nichols got through Buds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so if you're going, well, man, I really need everyone to help me through Buds. I need someone to tell me what shoes to wear, what goggles to buy, what supplements to take. This list is robust. And all of a sudden you get through Buds and go, well, shit, this wasn't even my journey.
Right.
So that's really what I'm talking. Personal responsibility is both sides. Own it.
That's good. That's really good, man. We talk a lot about, you know, the stupid questions that we get, and really for us, a stupid question is one that is easily researched and found, even though it might not be common knowledge to everybody. You know, it is out there. You know, I asking Siri or typing it into Google, do that first. You know, I'm doing this low carb thing right now. You know, I'm down to 205 now, by the way.
Down to 237.
Down to 205.
I'm not losing any weight.
Yeah, I am killing it. So, but anyway, you know, I was needing some carbs, and I had a tangerine, I had a banana, and I was like, how many carbs are in a tangerine? And I just happened to push Siri at the same time as saying that. Boom. Gave me, you know, 15.
More information than you can take on.
I was just like, I didn't even have to type it. I just pushed a button and asked. I mean, Siri is all over carb intake. And then I said, how many grams of protein in an ounce of chicken and an ounce of steak? I got that all in my head.
Discovery, man. Because that's it. You're being given the information is very, very different than someone, like if you're in a conversation with somebody and someone just gives you the information, that's very, very different than you're in a conversation with somebody. Somebody brings up a topic, you go home and Google it and go, wow, this means a lot more to me now than if someone had just given it to me. Because through reading and listening to somebody, you can put yourself in the moment then.
Yeah.
Right. If someone's talking to you about personal responsibility or initiative or these sort of things, you go, what does that really mean to me? I don't know. So that's when you go down the road of podcasting and Googling and go, man, what would be a really good book in the realm? Which again, a lot of people do ask us about books, and I'm going to have some reviews here pretty soon. I just bought 3 books. I'm going to have them done. My goal is to have them done in a week because I'm so excited to get into that mode of discovery. But what I'm finding is that, again, that's I really mean guilty as charged, because a lot of the things that I have done in my past, good, bad, or otherwise, were basically targets of opportunity. I just kind of as a whim was impulsive and did them. And I got done. I was like, well, shoot, man. Like, I didn't really feel like I learned anything.
Yeah.
So now I'm going, I'm trying to not be impulsive with things. I'm trying to do even like a deeper sense of research on not just what the message is being said or being said by these people or these books, but I'm this may not make sense, but as I'm reading the books, I'm trying to put myself not in the position of the author, but what's being said, I need to be able to relate that to my own life.
Yes,
absolutely. To learn.
Otherwise, it's hard to read.
Then it's just information. Because again, yeah, there's a big, big, big difference between information and knowledge. And people nowadays think that inundation of information gives them knowledge and power. And it doesn't. It's a falsity. And that's the whole reason why Stu and I do this, is because there's so many tactical experts with no experience and no education, but yet they've got a ton of information they're throwing out at you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, too? It's part of the struggle. You know, I think the struggle and the failure and the near failure, you know, and how you struggle to overcome all of that, you know, like you said, your journey to and through Buds and through the teams was your journey. You know, and there's a lot of struggle to that. And I think, you know, a lot of people, by not taking the initiative and finding out answers, and by not, you know, doing the research, are kind of missing out on the struggle.
Yeah. And you talk about mental toughness.
Yeah, that's where it is right there.
In my opinion, that mental dissection of your own needs is far more valuable than you just grinding it out in a weight room and that's where that interesting little piece of long runs, you're lost in your head, and there's value in that.
Yeah.
It's funny enough, I started doing this. I started doing it because I enjoy it. I always have done it for a long time, is doing underwater swimming.
Oh yeah.
I bought free diving fins and everything just to get, and I started realizing, I'm like, why do I like, cause again, it's one thing to do something, but it's another thing to do it and understand why. Like, enjoying it is a reason, but a lot of times we do something because we say we enjoy it.
Why do you enjoy it?
Why do we? Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what I realized is that, you know what underwater is? It's quiet. Mm. And if you're really, really, really comfortable, it's relaxing. So when I do my two-hour swim 2 days ago, I spent the entire time, I did one breath for every 50, did it again over and over for 2 hours. And at the end of the pool, I had a grease pen, right? And a piece of plastic, right? I started trying to write on my fins because I was using that time to think, because I realized it was the one of those few times where I can just block the world out, be physically engaged with something. And at the end of it, I was getting real clarity.
Yeah.
So I do the same thing in my shower now. I have grease pencils in my showers.
Smart.
So
yeah, I write some of my best articles in the pool.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, writing in my head, and then I got sometimes I have to leave early because I like,
got it. Yeah.
I get this down.
I had to keep getting in and out of the shower and go, damn it. So I bought some grease pencils like we use in Buds.
Yeah.
Same stuff, right? And so for me, I get really, really excited about it because so many of us end up talking about is fix, 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 but we don't share with, we don't give people enough options for themselves to fix.
Yeah.
And that's what we've stopped discovering. We discover all these problems and we discover all these outcomes, but we stop somewhere the multitude of options that get you to that positive outcome are available. And it's through education, yeah. Research, education, right? And I'm not talking the parochial go to school thing, because some of the the man with the highest IQ on the planet doesn't even have a college degree. He lives by himself in Idaho. He's got an IQ of 196. The parochial world won't actually publish him because they're threatened by him.
Wow.
There's an entire Netflix video about it, or documentary. And he had a thing going on. It's like, if you can stump him, he'll give you $1 million. Any question on the spot. If you can stump him, big or small, it's like, I'll give you $1 million. Nobody can stump him. So not sure if he's got the $1 million or not, but my point is it's something like that. But again, I'll get off my soapbox for a minute, folks. But for me, the discovery of being self-reliant and responsible through my own mechanisms is far more valuable for mental toughness than somebody just going, hey, man, do this. Like, we're saying read books, listen to podcasts, do your research, put the hard work in. And through all of that mechanism, if you're self-aware, what I mean is self-aware is that you're doing it with real purpose in a process. What you do on the end of it, you come out of the end of it and go, I am hard as shit and there ain't nothing going to stop me.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
For me is it.
I love that, Jeff. And, you know, this, I got an email I want to share with you too, and I'm going to read it. It's kind of quick. I think I sent it to you and you were amazed that this was a 16-year-old kid asking this kind of a question. So I'm going to give this to you because this kid reminded me a little bit of my journey as well. But anyway, he goes, I'm 16 years old with a strong drive to find out what it takes to be a SEAL. I'm a 3-sport athlete. I keep my grades up and try to develop myself as a man all the time. However, I know there must be something more to be a man than just trying to be hard and having discipline. Or is there? You know, I don't have many people to talk to who have succeeded in a feat of becoming a Navy SEAL. So my question is whether or not I'm on the right track to condition myself enough to have legitimate never quit mentality. And he's, I just look forward to hearing from you. I mean, that is a perfectly worded question.
Yeah.
One, it's not text language and it has punctuation in it
and capital, question mark at
capital letters and question marks. You know, but you know, it's such a mature question from a 16-year-old kid that I was really impressed with it. And so, you know, my answer to this guy is, yeah, man, keep playing sports. Your number one thing as a 16-year-old kid is learn how to be a team player.
Yep.
You know, try to get those leadership experiences, whether it's on the field or it's in clubs, or, you know, keep making good grades in school, because that's going to lead you to more opportunities, whether that is
way in more college. Open doors than closed.
Absolutely. It's going to lead you to better opportunities, whether that is college in your future or ROTC scholarships, if you want to do the officer route or Naval Academy, you know, whatever. But it reminded me of myself, because I was 16 years old doing the same exact thing, busting my ass, good grades, triple sports. And I worked really hard to figure out how to get to the Naval Academy. Okay. Once I got to the Naval Academy, you know, and I actually knew about 6 months before the Naval Academy that I was going to the Naval Academy. I never utilized those 6 months to figure out how to get through the Naval Academy. You know, I never asked anybody, like, what's it like? You know, how hard is it? You know, what's the best way to study? You know, all these little things that I just had no idea. I didn't even know the questions to ask.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a steep learning curve. And when we talk about the struggle of the journey, you know, I was a little rock star until day one plebe summer. Right. And I just got crushed. You know, there are tons of people in here that are smarter than me, faster than me, better than me. And it was a struggle just to try to maintain minimum standards for a while. And then eventually I kind of figured it out and was able to work through. And, you know, you do that through, you know, guys that are ahead of you, you know, mentors. And, you know, you're seeing guys, you know, for the first time ever, you know, I met a guy who wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And I was like, wow, that guy's incredible shape, you know. Yep. And then I met the first Navy SEAL and I was like, holy crap, he walks on water. You know, how am I ever going to be able to do that? You know, and you have those doubts and then you start pushing through them one day at a time. You know, that's why I get so frustrated when people say, you know, I'm going to Buds as soon as I can, right after I graduate high school. I'm gonna be 18 years old, and you know, you may not be ready yet. You know, so if you're ready at 18, great. The 16-year-old kid, I would say he'd probably be ready at 18 years old, ready to go, because he's already planning it right now. You know, 2 years.
Like, he's planning the right. So if you reread his first sentence again, if you would.
Sure. He just said that. Let me see. But, I saved it. It's on my phone.
Yeah. If not, I could paraphrase.
No, I got it. I got it. It says, I'm 16 years old with a strong drive to find out what it takes to be a Navy SEAL.
So that right there, the solution, he's presented the solution himself and shown that he's in self-discovery, because he's trying to find out what it takes to be, not I hope one day to be. Hey, can you tell me how to have this? He is saying, hey, I know this is on me.
I'm on a journey. That's what he's telling me.
His name.
He is on a journey.
He has taken self-responsibility to be positive, to like, I'm not there yet. I know I can do it. Am I on the right track? If not, I'm going to change. Self-responsibility is powerful.
And he has time to make those changes.
Yes.
If he needed to. But I think he's on a great foundation right now. I mean, that is how you build your foundation right there.
It really,
for anything,
language, especially written language. I forget what there's an entire profession about it, because I was actually watching the movie Sherlock Holmes, and Robert Downey Jr. mentioned it. There's an entire science based on understanding the written language of like big loops in the J mean this and that. Ego and all these sort of things. There's an entire science based on it. So when somebody sends those sort of messages, emails, text messages, whatever, like given the context, somebody you're just trying to abbreviate, like, hey man, like I'm at week 5. Am I understanding this right? That's different from someone going, I'm on a journey. The journey is big and long. Am I on track? Rather than going, hey man, like, can you tell me what boots I should be wearing, or what this, or, hey, can you tell me what book to read to make me tough? There's a big, big difference between somebody wanting to discover themselves so they own it, and somebody just giving them the easy route, and then they realize there's no easy route, which is why there's 87% attrition rate. And it doesn't change. It's not going to change. That 87% is not going to change. Unless all of a sudden you get a class full of people that are hell-bent on discovering their own truth, and they prepared for it without blinders of ego. And then like, because, yeah, we all go to Buds knowing that there is a real mathematical chance that we're going to fail. The difference is the people that go, yeah, but I'm looking at the other math. I'm looking at the 13%. I ain't looking at the 87%. It's a different sense of perspective, and that perspective is achieved through preparation. Okay, that's the reality. Is everyone wants a secret. You want a fucking secret? Prepare. When are you going to be ready? Don't know. But again, if you're still looking at that 87%, you ain't ready.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the 13%, going, yep, that's going to be me. Yeah, of course you're going to worry like me. I had beat up feet from the years of playing baseball. I was like, man, I hope my feet hold up. Doesn't matter. I'll run them till my toes fall off. And they did in Hell Week. I mean, I had all 10 of my toenails fall off in the first night of Hell Week.
Woo-hoo! Right?
So I had to fill the entire end of my boot with Vaseline. Just stuff Vaseline in there. So my toes, I actually got to the point where I was just sticking it in my socks, and then the socks didn't work. So I cut the ends off my socks, and just because it kind of soaked up in the sock and pushed up. But if I kept it in the boot with the bare foot, I was like, fuck it, it ain't gonna hurt anymore. So I just stopped wearing basically toes socks. So Kevin Lace was a brown shirt rollback who wrote the Punisher Ramadi. He was in my Buds class. And he was a corpsman.
Right.
So he was a brown shirt corpsman working the medical station for my Hell Week. And we got along great or whatever, just two big guys, right? We're the two biggest guys in our class. And he's like, hey man, this is really gonna help. And he just took a big handful of that salve, and he just stuck it in my boot, and he goes, it's the best I can do, man. He goes, we have to take your toenails off. And I was like, God. So Kevin Lace actually removed all 10 of my toenails in Hell Week with a little hot poker, and then they pulled it out. No, yeah, no, that was just like, because, hey, man, you got to be on the beach in 12 minutes. you got to pull your toenails off. I was like, well, fuck it, man, do it.
That's
what can you do? So dude, that's the thing is like
hardcore.
The journey is worth it. That's the big difference. A lot of people think that, well, all this work, you know, I want to be a SEAL, but you know, this is a lot of work. Yep, yeah. It is. It really is.
One of our traditions we have here with our groups that leave and they go to boot camp is we all go out to breakfast with them. You know, we treat them to breakfast. And the one thing that I say that is common for every single person who's heading off to boot camp is, you know, good luck, obviously, and I am jealous of where you are going right now, because that was some of the most fun, most rewarding challenge and journey that I've ever done in my life, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yep.
You know,
I on that same note, you probably remember. I remember the first time at Buds where I felt like I belong, like really I was in the right place, and it was the third night of Hell Week, the dinner meal, when basically at that point everyone's there, like everyone that's going to quit has already quit.
Yep.
And then it's just, and then what happened is that third, the dinner meal, the 6 p.m. meal on Wednesday, the third night of Hell Week.
As you sang good night to the sun.
We ran, you know, did boat races around, like, you know, the softball field over there. And then we went and ate. And I just remember all the cadre, hats and coats off. They sat down with us. They're both just, the whole mood changed. And they were very overt. And they're like, hey, man, no one here is going to quit.
Right.
We're done treating you guys like, you know, we're still going to beat the hell out of you. That's what hell. We don't even have to do that. But it's like they stopped screwing with us and started treating us like we were we had the journey that we have to travel to validate ourselves. We got a big chunk of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that for me was really, it's no one's patting you on the back.
Yeah.
Then you don't want that in that environment.
Yeah.
But damn, it felt good. It was all of that work for the year ahead of time. All the struggles going through boot camp and all that nonsense. It was worth it for that one dinner on the third night of Hell Week.
Yeah, that's funny because mine was kind of similar. It was like third or fourth day of Hell Week, whichever day we did the round the world.
Yeah, ours was the last night. But you guys, ooh, I think, did them.
Yeah, I think we did day three. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday morning. I don't know. But anyway, I think Wednesday night turned into Thursday morning,
yep,
by the time you did it. So anyway, we came in first, right? And we beat the last boat crew by at least 2 hours. I mean, it was – and they just set us up on the beach, and they said, dig a hole, and we'll throw the boat on top of you.
Go to sleep.
And you guys just go to sleep. And I just remember being so warm, so comfortable, and I was wet. I was sandy.
Didn't matter.
Next to two guys, you know, nut to butt or whatever you want to call it, spooning with them. And that moment right there was one of those moments where I am complete caveman mode right now. And I have never been more comfortable in my life.
You didn't need anything in your life.
Nothing.
I mean, it's the first time in your life that like everything gets removed and you're like, I don't even need to feed myself because they're going to tell me when to eat.
I was at bare existence right there. Yeah. But
it's like, if I need to go to the bathroom, I'm just going to go right here and none of these guys are going to care.
I was completely comfortable with it. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's something to be said about that. And again, we look at like wearing the trident, which in itself is a great, great privilege. One of the greatest privileges of my life. And I've noticed I'm choosing the word privilege very carefully.
Absolutely. Because
it certainly isn't my right.
Yeah.
It's that privilege and those validating moments before and after it that make it all worth it. And you won't get a taste of that when you're preparing. Just understand that. Like, you won't get any validation. And that's the really crazy reason why people quit. There's no validation.
Yeah,
but when those moments achieve are attained, where you can look around and go, "Oh, this is validation." Whether it's a nap on neck 3 or 4 of Hell Week, or a feed, or meal, or instructor's joking with you, or, you know, all those sort of things. We are always seeking validation when things are tough, because that allows us to keep moving, right? Friends hold us up, training like this, everyone telling us everything's okay. Yeah. You're not going to have that.
You know what it Buds is not? It is not instant gratification.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, I mean, same way with, you know, just about anything except for this culture. And I'm not knocking the younger culture, because I love the millennials. You know, people knock the millennials all the time, but I mean, this millennial generation, I mean, they have been seen 15 years of combat, you know, and they still sign up to go join, you know.
And right. Again, we also, as our generation, why the fuck do you think some people hate the millennials? It's because our generation were the predecessors and screwed them up.
Yeah.
We allowed that behavior to happen. So yeah. For me to sit here and talk shit about a millennial, well, it's my generation that allowed the fostering of that behavior.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be a part of that. So yep. Come one, come all, let's train.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have hope for the future because of the people I see every day who come train with me that want to serve. And these kids are teenagers. They are millennials, you know, but they still want to go serve. So gives me hope for the future that happens. So I'm not knocking millennials at all, but here's the one problem I have seen with people who are unprepared. One, who don't make it through these type of training programs, is there is no instant gratification. You know, nowadays we have everything at our fingertips, instant gratification. If I want to go to Amazon.com and buy a pair of shoes, I can do it right now.
Yeah, buy now, swipe, done.
You know,
2 days later, it shows up.
Exactly. I mean, so it's instant gratification. If I want to download a workout from somebody or buy a book, download, PDF.
Yep.
Instant gratification. There's no such thing at Buds of instant gratification. Yep. It's going to take time. It's going to take a struggle. And you got to get used to that struggle now.
And we're not saying don't use those moments for instant gratification, but use them in a way to foster a better process of engaging in preparation. Use it. Like, don't shy away from it and go, ah, you know, this Apple stuff is making me soft. No, it's not.
Can make you smarter too.
Yeah, it's the decisions we make. Okay. The world, because humanity is on the other side and people are unpredictable and they can do some terrible things, but we can do some great things as well. And if all we do is think about the negativity, because that's all the world I see, is like, you turn on the TV, it's polarizing opinion.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, that's why I keep saying that. That's what I mean by Buds. Buds is the most democratic thing I've ever been a part of, because they just really don't care what your political affiliation is, what your color is, what your religion is. They care. It is, the culture has been created so much to just mission first, people, all right?
Standard.
Standards.
Achieve it.
Take responsibility for your own decisions. If you don't, you will not get my time. You certainly won't get my sympathy, and you sure as shit won't get my empathy.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding, man. All right, so I think this one, we can title this one Attitude Adjustment.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yep.
This is a bit of good. Originally, it started off as talking about unprepared people going to the recruiter, but really kind of evolved into, you know, an attitude adjustment of, you know, not don't neglect the struggle. I mean, the struggle is real. That's what makes it great. That's, you know, learning from your failure and never giving up. That's part of it. And then you start breaking down perceived limitations, right? Your own perceived limitations. Like, everybody thinks Buds is the hardest thing ever, and every event is somewhat, everybody's going to fail and no one passes, but that's not the case. You know,
if that were the case, if something, again, it's like bull riding is a good example. There are bulls out there that have never been ridden. Right. But people still get up. I think there's two bulls right now, or while I was talking to a professional bull rider. The point is people are still getting on that bull, right? Yeah. Bud's is a big bull. It's old. It's been around for a long time. Yeah. You still get all these people getting on it, and they get bucked off. They all get bucked off. No one's getting bucked off that Bud's bull for different reasons now than they were 10 years ago or 20. It's the same reasons, folks.
Same reasons.
Not prepared. Okay. It really comes down to it. I'm talking emotional, social, physical. Not prepared. Something.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Prepare yourself.
Absolutely. All right. So, Jeff, that's all I got on this one.
Yep.
I think we're good. Hey, keep it up. If you got questions, ask them. You know, I know we're going to tell you some people that that's a stupid question because you could Google it, but, you know, ask them anyway. I don't mind telling you to Google things.
Yeah.
But just take it. Don't take it personal. Don't think it's I'm being lazy, not answering. Part of it is the journey of you finding out for yourself.
Right.
So there you go. All right. That's it.
All right, Stu. I appreciate it.
See ya.